Okay, excellent. Okay, can we start with the spokesperson for Hillary's group? Yes. Good. Excellent. Excellent. All right, let's move to this group. You're thinking correctly about the two virtues of faith and hope, but I just want to give you a clarification on the beatific vision. So faith and hope are two virtues that exist in this life, but they don't exist in the next life. Charity is the virtue that gives us the beatific vision. It's the virtue that establishes us as friends with God. We need faith and hope to have charity in one sense, because faith, like Hillary's group said, gives us the knowledge of God that the reason can't comprehend, and hope is something to cling to. But we wouldn't say necessarily that it's faith and hope that are giving us the beatific vision. That's properly charity. But you are thinking about it in the mode of the human being able to execute and perform supernatural acts. Okay? Let's do last group here.
Yeah, so we just had a couple of things, and I'm not sure if they have all these sense. We're saying that faith can be heard some words, so like present tense, knowing who God is, believe in God, that hope can be sort of more future facing, and you know, something that is still a belief in God, hope to meet him, but something that can be lost via despair.
Sorry, can you say the last part again?
I'm saying that something that can still be sort of lost, but then despair and sin.
Faith or hope?
Hope.
Hope, okay. Very good. Great. Yes, so the three groups, you've touched on the points that I wanted to emphasize. Yeah, so faith reveals to us the supreme good of human life, the supreme good being God. God is the object of our final happiness. He's the thing that we're moving towards, as we've talked about tonight, with the pilgrim on the way up the mountain, and then at the top of the mountain, the pilgrim becomes the person who comprehends and understands everything that was clouded here on earth. So they no longer need faith in that sense, because they see it. Likewise, they no longer need hope, because they possess it. So they possess the goodness of God in that beatific vision. Great. Second question.
The purgatory, they have hope.
That is right. Very good. Yes. So faith and hope do perdure into purgatory. And I actually had that as a point that I forgot to mention. But yes, so the souls that go to purgatory still possess these virtues. And their acquired knowledge, whereas the soul that goes to hell does not possess any virtues. But thank you, that's a good point. Why don't we start with this group?
So for question two, we thought that it is, well, on the one hand, so nobody's predestined. Human beings are made in the image of God and have free will, and God loves us and wants us to go to heaven, but of course with our free will and through our own actions, we can end up in hell. And so on one hand, it is, so on one hand, it's not accurate to say that God sends souls to hell because it's through human action, human decision making. But then on the other hand, I thought that it is also accurate to say that God sends souls to hell because God casts judgment and God creates everything. And so there's nothing that happens that's not in God's will, I guess. So I guess it's sort of a yes and no, if that makes sense.
God knows what we're going to pick.
Sorry?
He knows what we're going to pick because he's all-knowing.
That's right.
But he doesn't send us there.
No, he doesn't impede. He does have knowledge of everything, but he doesn't impede your free will in having that knowledge. And so even the movement of God's grace does not impede your decision as a human person to choose one or the other. That's always important. Yep.
I just said because we send ourselves from entering into a divine life through baptism, we have choices to make through our intellectual world, making choices in good faith or acting in good faith increases our chance of going to heaven, whereas acting in a bad nature, turning away from God's will, increases our likelihood of going to hell.
Okay. Very good. This one?
We kind of repeating the same thing, but we just said no, it's not accurate that God sends souls to hell because God knows. He's just all-knowing. He knows some souls will turn away, but leaves that choice to us because we have free will.
Excellent. Good. I think this shows that we've picked up on the right principles that are working here. And that's sort of my mode of presentation is to give you these principles of the faith and to try to define them as clearly as possible, so that you can start to see how they're really applying to you and to those who you're close to, to see the application. Because if you can understand a little bit what grace is, if you can understand what human action means, if you can understand what a free will means, what it means to have a soul, then the bigger questions when we get to them later in the year about the moral life and our conscience will start to hopefully be a little clearer and a little more illuminative. So any last... open questions before we conclude tonight? Yes?
I'm interested in the movement through purgatory.
Mm-hmm.
So I've long been worried that people who have more friends and more prayers move to purgatory more than people who don't have anyone to pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't seem, if that's true, if my understanding is mm-hmm. right, that reasonable.
Right.
Because by exercising your own free will on earth, you determine, you opt in or you opt out. You determine whether you're going to go to heaven or not based on your actions, which we just described. But when you go to purgatory and you're on your way to heaven,
right,
then is it out of your hands?
So
what determines your movement through purgatory?
Excellent question. So to repeat the question is, who determines or how is it determined that the soul moves through purgatory? And I think more specifically what this question might be getting at is it still the individual soul in purgatory at that point that's being prayed for, or is it the collective souls in purgatory? And I want, the church will say it's the latter, because we, as human persons on earth, don't know with certainty that the soul is in purgatory or not. We, have, assurance and as much as we can that the soul was prepared for death, received the sacraments, died in the state of grace, as much as we know, because we can't even really presume that fully, right? We're not going to presume anything about God's mercy or judgment, because we can't. Because of our finite being, our finite intellect. But the church prays for all the souls in purgatory. So All Souls Day is not just offered for that one soul, because how would you know? So you pray for all the souls. So if you and I end up in purgatory, if we had a million Catholic friends, who are praying for us by name, that's one thing. But the universal church, in her acts of worship, and offering the masses praise for all the souls in purgatory, and oftentimes you'll hear, for all those souls who have no one to pray for them. So the church always recognizes that too. So it's a universal intercession, if that makes sense.
That's comforting.
Yes.
Father Hoffman likes to say, nobody gets to heaven on their own, and nobody gets to hell on their own.
Yeah.
When you are in this life, you have a choice, and you're given that faith, well, by the graces of God, but also by the community that you're around. So that community you're around today is also hopefully the community that you're around in the afterlife. And when you surround yourselves with holy souls, we'd expect that to kind of rub off on us too. If we surround ourselves with unholy souls, that may very well rub off on us too. But you know, that community of saints is a great gift to us, that they exist, and that, you know, it's they're able to intercede for us, but also for the soul in purgatory as well. So when we don't know who to pray for, you can offer that to, and most particularly Mary, to say, Saint Mary, please distribute this as you see fit, because she has it in and we don't. So if you don't know of anybody in particular that you want to pray for, I mean, I hope you do, that you know your family members have passed before you and maybe friends, but if you can't think of anyone specific, you can just offer it to whoever Mary wishes to pass that on to.
Yes.
Tell me who you go with and I'll tell you what you are.
Yeah, the community of the faithful that we surround ourselves with here on earth is important. And as Hilary mentioned, the saints, they intercede for us continuously. Constantly. Yes?
I have a question about when we die, we're judged immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But then Christ, on his return,
mm-hmm.
Judges again?
Mm-hmm.
Or is he just judged those who haven't already been judged?
Yes, that came up in the small group. And I wanted to get a clarification from one of the priests before I could answer accurately.
Like
a sliding scale, like it does. That's right. You know, I can say tonight that I know, the universality of the Last Judgment is the souls that are not, you know, beatified as saints yet, but they've been resurrected because Christ has come back to the earth to judge. But he's judging the whole human race through the individuals. But I do want to get a clarification, so I'll figure that out and bring that up. So, and just for the podcast, the question was, what is the distinction between the particular judgment and the last judgment? If somebody's judged one way at the particular judgment, does it change at the final judgment? So, to be announced. All right, any last questions? Okay. You all should have gotten a flyer with this prayer for the dead, which I'd like to conclude with tonight. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. God our Father, your power brings us to birth, your providence guides our lives, and by your command, we return to dust. Lord, those who die still live in your presence. Their lives change but do not end. I pray and hope for my family, relatives, and friends, and for all the dead known to you alone. In company with Christ, who died and now lives, may they rejoice in your kingdom, where all our tears are wiped away. Unite us together again in one family, to sing your praise forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Thank you, everyone. Have a good evening.